middle. I didn't turn it all the way on. Sorry about that. The Amazon wish list, repeat, is on Facebook now. It's right now doesn't have a whole lot on it. I think it's like less than $200 worth of stuff, but it's all the playground stuff. I've had multiples of you talk to me about toothbrushes and toothpaste, which we hand out as much of it as we have everywhere we can. But found out this. This was found by Kim McCord at Blackman. Go figure. I mean, if it can be found, Kim McCord can find it. It's a little kit. It has a comb, a toothbrush, toothpaste, a small bar of soap, like hotel soap, and a small thing of shampoo for 95 cents, bag and all. So if you are interested in that, they come in kits of 100 packs. Get with me. These would be wonderful to pass out. We'll still, for those who've already gotten the toothbrushes and toothpaste, don't think that's, we'll pass those out to the schools, and we'll pass these out on the medical brigades and places like that. But that for 95 cents, you can't be, I mean, including the bag, you can't beat that. So if you're interested in doing that, please get with me. That's outstanding. And elders, the reason they know that they buy these and put them in the blessing box. And there's where you can, this is a 5-pack, there's an 8-pack, and a 15-pack. So that might be something we want to look at here, of letting people purchase these that we can keep stored in the blessing box as well. I was given, Steph gave me all the information. I have a sheet I can show the elders and let you see what it is. But that is outstanding. Thank you very much. Am I up? Yes. Part two tonight of If You Love Me, Keep My Commandments. Part two is kind of a lesson reminder of things that we've actually been talking about that I think going to sum up everything that we need to be doing. But we've talked about, did a whole lesson on reasons that people left. And I read another article just this past week and actually saw something on the news where they were interviewing people who had left religion. And in both cases, one considered number one reason was hypocrisy, which I find great irony in, because people do things at restaurants that we don't like, but we'll keep going to restaurants. People act and misbehave in certain ways at Walmart, Kroger, you name the place, but we keep going there. But we use that as the excuse to say, well, I'm not going to go to church anymore. Now, I realize those are very different atmospheres. There should be higher expectations for those at church than there are out in the world. But it's just ironic how we're willing to put up with certain things in certain areas, but not others. There's going to always be a hypocrite in any congregation. You want to know why? Because none of us are perfect. At some point or another, we're going to make a mistake in front of others that we shouldn't have made. But that is the reason so many say that they leave. And so that means, brothers and sisters, that hypocrisy has caused so many to leave so far that we've got to make sure that we in our own minds are battling that concept. Is what I'm doing hypocritical of who I say that I am? Am I living what I'm claiming? And that's a big question. That's a big what if. What if I'm not? What if my actions here are the ones, the very actions that have led and pushed other people away from religion? And as I've done some of these lessons, I've been analyzing and looking back through my life, and I realize there's things I've done that, you know, I didn't represent Christianity the way it should have been represented, period. And I wonder, you know, how many people have I offended or turned away from that I might could have gotten to come to church or I might have been able to get a Bible study with, but because of certain actions, I didn't. Especially look back when I was younger. I've always, my mouth's never been under control, but when I was younger, it was real bad. I wonder how many times my sarcasm or insults or something pushed people away from turning to God. So the first scripture I picked is Romans 7, 15 through 18. This is one of the fun chapters to read because these verses, it's difficult to follow if you read it too fast. But if I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law. That is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. even though I crucified that verse, I hope you read it with me. The point is there. We have these good intentions and desires to do Christian things, but we get out into the world and Satan's out there and we're not focused. And I'm the best to use an example of, if I lose my focus, then things could go, are going to go awry. This morning I had multiple people come to me and say, I am trying to figure out how you cut your toe off with a skill saw. So I had to explain what happened to them. But to narrow it down and make it simple, I was not focused on what I should have been focusing on. Had I been focused on what the saw and what I was actually doing, that would have never happened. And sin is the same way in most cases. It's not always that we plan. Everybody believes, oh, well, they planned that out. And they No, most of the time when we sin, it was that moment of a bad decision. It wasn't that we planned it out, and it wasn't that we even wanted to do it. We didn't want to do it. But then we got in the situation, and we did exactly what we didn't think we would do. You want to see a good example of that? Look at Peter. Peter believed with all his heart that he would die with Jesus. But then when it came down to the pressure, he denied him three times. It wasn't he planned to deny him. He didn't plan. He didn't want to deny him. And yet, just like this says, I do the very thing I hate. And then I love the end where it says, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what's right, but not the ability to carry it out. That's where we get hypocrisy. We claim to be Christians. We claim to love and show mercy and justice and all of these things. And yet so often we get out in the world and our focus is on our job or our focus is somewhere else or we're stressed out and we make our mistakes. But what we got to do as Christians is when we make those mistakes, let people see how Christians handle them. Be ready and willing to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. I've apologized to students before because I handled things wrong. I've apologized to entire classes before for doing things wrong. And it hurts me when they say, we've never had a teacher or an adult ever apologize to us before. A 14-year-old child, and they're saying, I've never had an adult apologize to me. Then they're a lot better adults than me because we make mistakes. And whether they're a child or another adult, we need to be willing and ready to apologize and do our part to make it right. You see, there's the difference. We don't have to be defined by our mistakes. The true definition of character is how we handle our mistakes. And the true definition of a Christian is how we're going to handle it when we do make those mistakes. It's not that we have to be perfect. We're not. But how we handle things is what's going to show the world the difference between the world and a Christian, a person who truly loves. Continuing on in 1 John, ooh, that reminds me. This morning I put up a verse in John, and it was 1 John. How many of y'all caught that? Raise your hand. Oh, you're good. But I apologize for that. I put up there John, and it was 1 John, and I should have caught that myself. Bad me. All right, 1 John 2, 15 and 16 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. We recently, I guess you could say you purchased a TV program called Pure Flix. I'd heard about it, didn't know what it was going to be. We used to watch Hallmark a lot, but it is not at all what it used to be. And the Pure Flix, it was like a breath of fresh air. They're not going to always teach exactly maybe what we believe, but they talk about God in life and how we need God in life and how God has helped them in life. And it's like, wow, what refreshing. There's no language. Nobody's getting drunk. There's no sexuality at all. It's like relationships ought to be. And it just was very refreshing to sit and watch a movie and see that. And hear God being talked about in the sunsets and in the beauty of creation. And our society has lost that. I remember watching the old movies, well, that Alan still watches. But, you know, they had prayers at the tables in the movies and they talked about God. And we've lost that. It's been replaced by immorality language that is just totally unnecessary at all has replaced the things that used to be good and moral. And we as Christians must find things in this world to focus on that are pure, that are good, to the best of our ability. And here it talks about not loving the world itself. And we talk about things in the world. It could be not just money and stuff, but it could be our music, our movies, the books that we read. All these things we need to analyze and think, as a Christian, is this what I should be doing or partaking in? And it should not be of the world. Our focus should always be, and our priority always be, being a godly person. Continuing on in Matthew 23, verses 27 through 28. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Now, this is the third one I've read today. I read two this morning about them. And he used that word a lot describing them. Here he says, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and uncleanliness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. This is what we can't be. This, to me, is the true definition of a hypocrite, one who does it daily, regularly. It's a part of their life. Now, we can dress up on Sundays in the prettiest clothes on the face of this earth, but we can be just like these scribes and Pharisees who on the outside appear religious and good and pure, but on the inside, we're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. I have to pick on Mom tonight. I'm going to have to say, Mother, forgive me, for I know not what I do, but I had to wear tennis shoes tonight. And my mom's cringing over there. I thought I was ready for dress shoes this morning, and that was a bad plan. But you know what? I've seen people come in here in their Nissan uniforms. I've seen people come in here where they've been working, and their uniform may not be clean. But you know what? What God sees is the heart, not that they're in a dirty clothes. We sometimes forget, yes, we try to dress up, look nice, because we're trying to show respect to God. But the greatest respect we show to God is putting Him first and being here. What do you think He respects more? The person who comes in their uniform that's dirty, but they're here and they're singing with their heart, or the one that goes home saying, well, I don't want to show up in church in dirty clothes. God wants the one that wants to be with Him. And we need to recognize when we go to Honduras, there are going to be people that are, they've got dirt all over them, but they're there. And some of those people that got dirt all over them is because they walked 2 hours to get there. We as Americans wouldn't drive 2 hours to go to church, much less walk it. But they're there. And we need to get that mindset in our minds and our hearts that I need to be there. Man, when we missed for the snow, it was the weirdest feeling. We got back, it was like, my people, they're here. I get to see you. And if y'all noticed, the first time we came back, people, we were here, an hour after service was over, talking. We'd all missed each other. That's the way it should be. That's family. And we as Christians, we need to quit worrying about appearing outwardly. And don't get me wrong, we need to appear outwardly as Christians. That's dressing modestly. That's representing God in a modest fashion. But not get so caught up in how pretty we are, how fancy our suit is, and think that's respecting God. But then inwardly, our hearts are wrong. We've got to get our priorities in order. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. But mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, having nothing to do, you have nothing to do with such people. And I know we hear people say, and I've said it too, it's like, well, you just described right now. But we go back 100 years ago, and I love history, and the 20s were a really interesting time period in history. But this described the 20s also. America was very self-absorbed in breaking laws and doing things that were not moral. And when World War II came along, many people used this verse to say, yep, end of times, here it is. We don't know when the end of times are, and yes, this does describe society right now. But we can also say it described society under the Roman Empire. We can say it described society under multiple times during the world. We don't know when the end of the world could be. It could be tomorrow. This could be the perfect description, and God may say, yep, tomorrow is it. We just don't know. That's why we need to always be prepared, but not fall into this unholy, ungrateful, unloving, disobedient to parents, proud, boastful, abusive. These should never be descriptions of who we as Christians are. Because when we fall into these categories, then we become those hypocrites that people see. And it's not fair, but it's true that people look at us, and I will tell you, especially as Church of Christ, they look for when we're going to mess up. They can't wait for us to mess up. They're watching constantly. And it's sad. Yes, it's not fair. Well, they shouldn't expect any more than... Well, maybe they should, actually. God says we're to be a peculiar people. We're supposed to be different. People should recognize that we are different. And if they don't recognize we're different, then we're not doing our jobs. And we can't be this. That's something that we just can't allow in our lives. Continuing on Romans 2, 1 through 5. Therefore, you have no excuse, O man. Every one of you who judges for passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, practice the very same things. We know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who practice such things. Do you suppose, O man, you who judge those who practice such things and yet do them yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? But because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. Woo, that's scary. We need to be careful about judging people. And that's hard, is it not? You see people do things and say things and act certain ways, and in our mind, we want to judge. And I'm not just talking about somebody that you get mad at in the line in front of you at the grocery store. I mean, the news, I struggle watching the news. The reason I don't watch it much, because sometimes it makes me upset. It can make me angry when I see the cruelty in the world today. The lack of value of people and lives. But I still don't have a right to make comments like, well, they're going to burn in hell someday. They might. But we as Christians should be looking at it the other way. I hope and pray somebody gets to them in time. I hope and pray somebody gets to them in time. These terrorists who take their own lives in desire of hurting and killing people, that's heartbreaking. Because they've done like Judas. They put themselves in a position where they can't make right what they've done wrong. And that should be heartbreaking to us as Christians. We should fight the anger, fight the frustration, and start looking at it in a different way. Stop judging and start hoping and praying for these people. That somebody, somewhere gets to them. And God may use us as one of those people. And be ready to be there to help pull them out of what Satan has put them in. James chapter 1, verses 21 through 26. It says, therefore get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Have you ever met a truly humble person? I have, and some of you are the ones that are popping in my mind. The young man, he's my age, he's old too, that was with me this morning, Fred Martin, is one of the most humble men I've ever met in my life. He always has been. And if you knew him as a younger, he was a person who had every right to be arrogant. He was an unbelievable person, and yet always humble. And I look at those people, and it's like, I want to be more like that. I have my humble moments, but as all of us, not always as humble as I should be. But we need to humbly accept the word planted in us, which can save us. Continue on. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what we have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. I added that one in there because that's those little sins we talked about this morning we don't always count. You know, gossiping, talking behind people's backs, doing and saying things hurtfully. We have to be very careful. And as we always harp on social media, that has turned people loose to say things on social media that they might never have been willing to say to someone face to face. But now we're saying things that hurt, and I mean hurt and deep, and doing things that Christians should not be doing. And we have to be so careful to keep a tight rein on our tongues, because something so simple as what the things we say, it says their religion is worthless. So again, analyzing our struggles, our weaknesses, the things that we need to be watching and focusing on in our lives each day is so important for us to understand. In Luke 6:45, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. An evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Here's the thing, I heard this years ago. I believe when I was in high school, the story. Man said there's two dogs in every person. You may have heard this one. There's the good one and the bad one. The one that wins the fight is going to be the one you feed. We choose. There's none of this, well, I was just born a criminal. No, you weren't. No baby was born to be a murderer. We, along the way, make our choices. And at some point in our life, especially our society, we've got to quit blaming our parents for everything. At some point, we've got to become an adult and make a decision on our own. And salvation's the greatest decision you're ever going to make, whether your parents agree with it or they not. We can be the person we choose to know. We will be the person we choose to be. It says it right here. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. We have to choose whether it's going to be good or whether it's going to be evil. And when we make those mistakes that come out and they are evil, whether it's by our mouth or our actions, we've got to learn from it. Accept that we made the mistake, correct it in any way we can, but then battle and not do it again. That's where I think a Christian is different than the rest of the world. Then in Hebrews 10:19-22, it says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. See, we can change. And as we look at people out in the world and we sometimes judge, and I know I've done this, learned terrible lessons because I judged, decided who needed an invitation to a gospel meeting or a VBS and who didn't by looking at them. Everybody needs it. There's nobody out there that doesn't need us to start a conversation about God or the Bible. And you say, well, what if they're already a Christian? When has it ever been a bad plan for two Christians to stop and talk about the Bible? We need to stop looking at excuses and start finding ways to draw near with a true heart in the full assurance of our faith and share that with people. And it's hard. I'll be first to tell you. No, nobody is more terrified of knocking on a door and having to converse with somebody that I don't know than I am. So you're a preacher. This is easy. Out there, it's not as easy. With you at a fellowship, well, I can walk around anywhere and talk to anybody because I have a bond with you. Out there, that's hard. But that doesn't mean we should use that as our excuse to not do it. Again, let us draw near with a true heart. It's all about our heart, keeping it pure. With a full assurance of faith, knowing that God, any time we want to talk to people about God, God's there with us. If our heart is right about what we're doing, God's there with us. He'll guide us. We've got to have faith in that. It doesn't mean he's going to make you remember every verse in the Bible just immediately. You may have to say, you know what, that's a good question. Let me get back with you. But he's there with us to help us have the courage to do it. We just got to let God help us through. And then finally, Matthew 5 verse 8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." That's our goals, brothers and sisters. If we can purify our insides, if we can do that, and we can't do it without Christ. Let me just make that straight, right? We can't do it without Jesus. He purifies us inside, outside, spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, as soon as we go down to that water grave baptism. But that's not the only time he'll do it. Anytime we come to him with a pure heart in repentance and praying to him, he will cleanse us pure and free again, and then we get to start fresh. We just started a new 9 weeks in school. For our school, at least, it means everybody's starting at the same grade. Everybody, your fresh start, no matter what you made last semester. All the discipline stuff, okay, boom, clean slate, we start all over again. Everybody gets that second chance. Jesus will do that for us over and over and over. As long as we keep battling to have that pure heart, we can. For they shall see God. That's our goal. Tonight, if you are not yet a Christian, and you're ready to make that decision, I just don't let family, don't let friends, don't let your parents, if you're ready, keep you from obeying the gospel. I know people that as adults still haven't obeyed the gospel because their parents were something else or believed something else. But I also know plenty of people that they went and did it anyway, against their parents' desires, whatever, because as an adult they realized this is a decision of my soul salvation. I have to make the right one. And the only way to know how to do that is to know what's in here. And once you know that, brothers and sisters, we have no excuse not to be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. There will be no excuses made on Judgment Day. Well, Lord, I didn't think it mattered. I didn't think it was essential. Then you didn't know his word. If you are a Christian, the battle for a pure heart is you're not alone. Don't sit there and think that's a battle I have, Greg. I go up and down. We all do. That's life. That's Christianity, is the constant battle. And sometimes we fall. Sometimes we end with a glorious victory. It's not ours, it's God's. But we're going to fall. When we do, that's when we need each other. Tonight, if you need prayers or if you're ready to obey the gospel, will you come as we stand and sing?